What's up, guys? We're here. We're live. We're at the Habibi House podcast. We have a very special guest today, Frogan.
Hello, hello.
Morgan.
It feels so weird because, like, living in LA, nobody calls me Morgan. They only call me Frogan. Like, that's, I guess it's like streamer culture. Everybody calls everybody by their usernames.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's crazy. Yeah. Like Hassan Abi. They call him Hassan Abi.
They call him Hassan. Yeah, they call Hassan Hassan. But, like, if your username is your real name, you're good. But, like, me, Frogan, or, like, Capri, we call him Capri versus his real name. It's kind of weird. Like, yeah. You see these people every day, you just call them their usernames.
That is pretty weird.
But here, we don't say Hassan. We say
Hassan?
Hassan.
It depends, you know? Like,
what's the fro for?
Yeah, how did the Frogan come?
So, growing up, people would call me Morgan Freeman because my name is Morgan. And I was watching a YouTube video and they said Frogan Meeman. So I made my username Frogan Meeman on Twitter when I was 13. And then on Twitch when I joined in 2018, as a joke, I changed my username to Jake Gyllenhaal and somebody stole Frogan Meeman. So then I just made it Frogan with a zero because people would call me Frogan for short anyways in like Discord and stuff. And then it just stuck.
Wow. That's like the whole like internet culture and stuff.
Accidentally created a brand before I even anticipated
it. So no one calls you Morgan?
In LA, no. The only people that really call me Morgan now are like my family and friends back home. It's so weird.
And where are you from?
From Dearborn, Michigan.
Hey, yeah. Dearborn in the house. You know, I'm from Dearborn too.
Do you miss it?
The food.
Like, I agree.
Like the Mennonite, just like there's, I don't even know, there's no Mennonite over here.
In Anaheim.
Yeah, but like 45 minutes to like get a Mennonite. Like I'm going to be.
Not comparable. I went home during Christmas and my whole goal was to get a Mennonite because I haven't had a good one in
literally
forever.
Same.
But my favorite bakery was Prince.
Okay,
bakery.
Prince Bakery.
But apparently they had like a health code violation or
classic.
Some shit. And they had to redo everything and I tried it. It just didn't taste as good as it did before.
And they used to put their foot in it.
No way.
Wait, so yeah, my favorite bakery was Family Bakery.
Family Bakery, where's that one?
It's like on Warren, between Southfield and Greenfield, because I used to live over there. And then like King's Bakery, do you know King's Bakery? Like I used to live right behind King's Bakery. But yeah, what else? What are your favorite restaurants in Dearborn?
Tama's.
Okay.
El Amir. Well, El Ajime was my favorite restaurant ever, but it closed down and turned into a Yemeni coffee shop, which is a trend.
A lot of Yemeni coffee shops.
There's like one on every corner now, which is ridiculous.
There's a lot of Yemenis in Dearborn.
Not really. They're usually a lot of them are on the east side, but a lot of the Yemenis are in what's that?
Hamtramck.
Yeah, Hamtramck. But
coffee is also like a very high profit margin. It's like everybody drinks coffee.
They
invented
people
coffee
from Yemen. Yeah, they say that they made it. Is that true?
Yeah, I think it was.
Can we get our in-house Yemeni to corroborate?
We got a Yemeni on payroll.
Mocha coffee is named after the port of Mocha in Yemen.
Mocha coffee is based on the port.
I just want to give props to Adam. Like, can we get Adam on for like 2 seconds?
Adam, come on, Adam.
Come on. Right here.
Yemeni in the house.
So
what's up?
He put me on to Frogan real quick. So did Yemeni people invent coffee?
Apparently it comes from East Africa.
Ethiopia.
Like the wild coffee, like beans and stuff. But the Yemenis were the first to like cultivate it in the coffee.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
The thing is, in Dearborn, they don't give about the they don't care about the culture about it. They see whatever's doing well in profit. Like, for example, frozen yogurt shops. Mm-hmm. Everybody opened one. Crepes. Everybody opened one.
Vape stores.
Vape stores.
That will forever do well.
Fried chicken spots.
Yes.
Corn on the corner. Like the most random things.
Corn on the corner slaps.
Holy Cluck slaps too. I don't know if y'all know Holy Cluck. Shout out Ali Bezzi.
Which one?
The one that owns Holy Cluck. There's like a million of them. Shout out all the Ali Bezzis, to be honest.
Holy
like,
Cluck?
Holy Cluck, yeah, yeah.
Nice.
They go crazy. Who's my favorite? I mean, Albasha used to be like the go-to like late night spot.
Yeah.
And then it kind of died out. And then now it came back as like a novelty sort of thing. What else?
You say no mayo, they'll still give you mayo.
Yeah, no, they'll give you extra mayo just to make you mad. Just to make you come back and argue with
so
them.
So cute. You guys are like geeking out over Dearborn.
I mean, it's the best.
Yeah.
Because once you leave, you're like.
It's like you leave, you miss it, but then you go back, you're like, oh, fuck, now I see why I left this city.
Right.
But I still miss it, though. I don't know, a little bit.
I went back a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, I'm good.
Same.
I mean, so how did you end up in Dearborn? Your
I was
background.
Born there.
Okay, so
born and raised.
Your parents are Lebanese.
My dad's Lebanese. My mom is Polish.
Okay.
That's a Michigan story if I've ever heard
no,
one.
No, literally.
Yeah, a lot of Polish in Michigan.
Yeah. So
even in Dearborn, like yeah. they're huge. Okay, so how did that happen?
I don't even know.
How did they meet?
They met, but they're divorced now. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think like through friends they met. Like my mom's best friend's boyfriend was friends with my dad or something mm-hmm. like that. And then I have three siblings. I have two sisters and a brother. And we lived in Dearborn our entire lives.
Wow.
And then I moved here for content creation. And I'm the failure of my family.
Well, I was listening to your stream yesterday.
And same.
You guys were talking about us. I appreciate that. And kind of like crowdsourcing questions. So I know we'll get into that later. But
he sent us a screenshot.
Hi, sorry, I'm late.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Wear the sponsored shirt.
Who's this? This is Talal?
This is Talal. Yeah, nice to meet you.
Talal raps. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I did.
Do it right now.
I do.
Let's hear it.
You want me to rap?
You got a verse on mind.
Sick of German Shepherd at my aunt.
Okay.
Should we get right to it?
No, I'm just kidding. You don't want to hear that one on camera.
Yeah.
We don't want this episode to be demonetized.
So how was it growing in Dearborn, like half white, half Arab?
So
just in America, just in general also.
In America, okay, so I feel like a lot of people that are half-half can kind of relate, but to be quite honest,
half
white, half Arab.
Okay.
Can relate to this.
What about religion-wise? Half Arab Muslim, Christian?
Honestly, I was raised like strictly Muslim, okay. So I really didn't have that like dynamic. Although like my mom's side is non-Muslim,
mm-hmm.
we still were raised Muslim.
Okay.
Like so, I feel like I identify more with my Arab side anyways because I was born and raised in Michigan, and
yeah.
my mom didn't really push any of the other culture onto us.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of the time, depending on where you are and who you're talking to, like sometimes you feel too white to be Arab or too Arab to be white. So then 100%. It has that, like, dynamic of, like...
Well, your mom is Jewish, right?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, that's... Okay, so that's your co-host.
That's my co-host,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, so not Polish-Jewish,
yeah,
Polish-Christian. Okay.
Her family really wasn't...
Because I was going to say, like, you're, like, the Thanos of, like, the Infinity Stones. You have... You would be, like, a hijabi, Arab, Jew...
It'd be crazy.
Yeah.
No, my co-host, Raf, is
he's the
Jewish Lebanese, yes.
Jewish Lebanese?
He's a hijabi, too.
What?
Yeah, he's a hijabi. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
We
Jewish Lebanese. That's
here.
Great.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's... How did you guys meet?
Raf and I met through Capri almost 2 years ago. I was playing Fortnite on stream, and I was like, oh, I wish I had somebody to play with. And then he's like, I'll play with you. And I recognized him through Capri, and I was like, oh, yeah, let's play. And then we just became friends ever since.
That's cool. And how's that dynamic? Does it get political?
No. But to be honest, like, we align politically anyways, so we never really have any issues. If anything, I'm the one that's, like...
Stirring the pot.
Wait, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Speaking of the pot... Didn't you have some issues on Twitch? Do you want to jump into that?
We'll dive into that, but before we get into that,
should we talk about the sponsor?
Yes. So this
Chorus
segment,
is the sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Chorus.
Chorus,
check
look at this shirt.
Not Cooties.
It's yeah. It's pronounced Chorus, like singing. Yeah, there you go. Got the wings. Every LA girl takes pictures with those wings
yeah,
on the wall.
Oh,
you're talking about the
me.
One where it says, this city is a city of angels.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
I think the music video by that one. So.
I like it.
Chorus.
Yeah. So this episode of Habibi House is proudly brought to you by Chorus, a premium streetwear brand redefining tradition through fashion.
Feels good.
Founded by a Palestinian designer,
nice.
Chorus blends heritage and modernity with its debut collection of hoodies, t-shirts, and sweatpants. Crafted from luxurious Pima cotton, I think it's made in Peru, and inspired by the rich storytelling of Tetri's embroidery, it's designed in NYC and made with an Arab-owned supply chain. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Each piece carries a cultural legacy with a contemporary twist.
I love the Tetri's aspect
yeah,
of it, with
really
it
cool.
still being like kind of modern looking for
yeah.
sure.
It's a trend, I think, to like, give a homage to the past and then make it modernized
yeah,
too. So
100%.
That's really cool. They do a very good job. So as a special thank you to our listeners, Chorus is offering 20% off your purchase. Just use promo code
Habibi20.
Habibi20.
Let's go.
At checkout. Plus a portion of all profits supports charities providing relief in the Middle East.
Dope.
All right.
So elevate your wardrobe with meaning and shop now. Like cooler chorus official and celebrate culture through fashion.
I love it. It's funny.
I ran into this brand on Instagram like not too long before this. They reached out to us and I was like, I want one of those shirts.
And that you manifested it in the universe.
Yes, sir. Somehow.
So yeah, let's get back to the Twitch. Streaming.
I like this. It has like the chorus on the side.
Super nice.
What were you saying about
matches your hijabs too.
So what I did is I looked at pictures of it and I like made sure to bring matching pieces because I came in with
she picked that one specifically. I showed her and
all the colors are right there. Yeah.
I had to match it, but we don't get sponsors because of our
controversy.
Yeah.
We can get into that, but the let's start how that even happened. So like you're a Twitch streamer.
I'm a Twitch streamer.
Right. Full-time.
Full-time. Yeah. Before Twitch, I was a public health scientist.
What does that mean? Because my sister studies public health. Really? I don't know what it means.
So public health for me, I feel like it's the perfect combination of like research and medicine, depending on what you go into. Because like at the end of the day, everything is a public health issue. Mm-hmm. Like literally anything could be.
What's your favorite public health issue?
My focal area was reproductive health. I did reproductive health research and accessibility.
Nice. Man, women are going through that in this country.
Yeah.
Now, huh?
Did you hear they took down the reproductive health website on the White House?
I saw I know no politics, but they introduced some bullshit one today. It was like the Post-Abortion Survivor Act. And I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? Post-abortion survivor.
Hey, if you survive an abortion, we're coming for you.
It's like you can get compensated today. Call 911.
Did your mom try to abort you?
Right. I think I read it that like if there's an abortion and then like the fetus survives and they resuscitate it or something.
He wants revenge.
Okay, I don't know.
That's crazy. The Muslim ban part two.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Let's go. We're on that list.
Huh? The mass action lawsuits for class action for reporting.
He said mass action. Sounds like.
Sorry, you know, the father.
But yeah.
So my focal area was like reproductive health and accessibility. I like health communication, which is kind of why I started on Twitch, because I was like, okay, nobody's really doing public health on Twitch. And I did it briefly, and I started playing Fall Guys. Mm-hmm. And a clip of mine went viral on Reddit of somebody calling me a fake Muslim. Because I swear too much.
Reddit is such a like wholesome place, isn't it?
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Love Reddit.
It's just such an honest place at the corner of the internet.
Yes.
Yeah, brutally, but not in this case.
So the halal police got you, the haram police.
They always do.
Yeah.
You have to be perfect. You have to be what they want you to be, apparently.
If you claim you're Muslim, you cannot make any single mistake on the internet.
You can't do anything on the internet. Yeah. Especially if you're hijabi.
Oh, that's even,
you're an anomaly. I'm
sure so how has it been being a hijabi? Do you feel like you're held to a different standard?
Yeah, but
like you're representing the whole religion or something?
In a sense, yeah, but I feel like
on Twitch, there's not that many, at all.
I feel like from other hijabi content creators, I'm different in the sense of like I don't make it my content. Right. It's just a part of me. Does that make sense?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not like I'm a hijabi streamer. This. I'm like I'm Frogan. This is a part of my identity.
Yeah.
We were discussing about Liana Deeb. We've mentioned her before on the podcast, and she's made it kind of like her content.
Yeah.
And it's good because now over a billion people are represented in the fitness space, where she just dropped like a full hijab fitness line, which is really cool.
It's super cute. I looked it up. Yeah. The Gymshark line is super cute. But yeah, I feel like I'm different in the sense of like I don't make it my brand, and I don't want to make it my brand because I don't want to be that representation, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
because I know
so much
people
on your
are
shoulders,
gonna get mad.
Exactly.
It's a lot of pressure, right?
Yeah. At the end of the day, like I'm not what people want me to be as a Muslim influencer in a sense of like I'm not like quiet. I swear a lot. I speak my piece in a way that people don't want me to speak my piece.
Right.
Kind of. You know?
Yeah, they want you to
like dainty, and I'm like, I can't.
You have to be yourself, though.
Yeah. So I'm just like, if you like it, you fuck with it, sure. If you don't, leave. Yeah. Like, I don't care.
Right. It's definitely something you got to reckon with, I feel like, as a hijabi woman in the world, right? Like, people look to you as a symbol of the religion, and if you deviate at all, then you get that backlash.
And also,
I think it's an unfair standard because we're all humans. Just because you're taking an effort, placing an effort to be more devout, it doesn't mean that you're open to more judgment, you know. But actually, we should admire people in your position and give them the same grace anyone else gets. Not any
saw Brittany Renner or what was her name? The
oh boy,
The one that, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
She's like this Instagram model.
Brittany Renner. Is she like a TikTok person?
She like, definitely she's not she's like a, well. She was like an Instagram model, but she converted to Islam and she was just showing her journey and stuff. And she gets a lot of flack for it. And it's, you know, people, a lot of support too.
Yeah.
But have you like experienced a lot of like the hate or like racism?
Oh yeah, I mean I've worn the hijab ever since I was like 9, so I've worn it my entire life at this point basically. And online, it's just like the usual like, oh, you're a towel head, you're a terrorist, you're this. Yeah, but like,
be more creative.
Yeah, honestly. Exactly. I'm like, one time somebody called me a tally baddie, and it made me laugh. I was like, I should ban you. Or I'm like, I kind of want to ban you, but
you should Taliban.
But like, whenever it's like, it's just like the basic stuff. Like, oh, she has a bomb. I'm like, okay.
She's the bomb.
Yeah. But I'm just like, yeah. I'm so used to it at this point. I've been on the internet ever since I was 12 years old, like on Stan Twitter. So.
But once you hear like a good one, you're like, okay, yeah, that's a good one.
It's so cheap. I don't know if there are any good ones anymore.
If there's a good one, I can appreciate it.
Like what? Like what's a good one you've heard?
The Talibani one was pretty funny.
Okay.
Hey guys, we're back with the Habibi House. We fixed the camera. We have amazing guests right here. Frogan, are you the first hijabi on the podcast?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why was I the first? Why hasn't it happened sooner?
We've been trying really hard, to be honest.
You guys are a rare breed. I feel like.
I was prepped for the Zane Comedy.
We're going to have Zane Comedy.
Oh yeah, Zane's awesome.
Zane, she's a comedian.
I think
we're underrepresented. There's no one out here. Who else is out here? Tell me.
Hijabis?
Yes.
I don't know any.
Okay, exactly. And we're the only people from Dearborn.
I literally don't know any.
Society, it's a rare thing to come across. That's why it's
we could all go to Anaheim and sit at Nubia and find somebody.
Yeah. I mean, more women in general on this podcast. We need more women guests for sure.
I will say, in your defense, women guests are really hard to get, even on our podcast. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to brainstorm like people that are like women in the spaces that are like.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
What's the
like, we just bring our friends.
Ben, shout out Jacob.
This is the first time we bring Jacob to the studio. Jacob, for our fans, is the person that introduced all of the Habibi House members. And without Jacob, we wouldn't know each other. So big shout out to our boy Jacob Zetfer.
Shout out to Jacob.
Yes, sir. Say a word. Just kidding. I didn't know that. And he's been urging us to get more women guests.
Not more. Like, I feel like women would be comfortable with you guys, especially after like you guys have had a few already, and that you know, you guys are all good men of quality.
now say that like you really mean it.
All come from good families. From how I know you guys, you know, I knew you guys. You said no politics. I'm like, it's God politics. And then I'm like, oh, that's a whole conversation.
It's God politics. That's a funny
question. That is God politics.
Is God politics? I think it is.
Yeah.
It's political. Yeah,
absolutely.
To
I'm in this.
Allahu Akbar.
America's supposed to be founded on, you know, the founding fathers who are all, you know, men of God, supposedly. But anyways, we won't go into all that. But I feel like you guys are cordial, respectful men, come from good mothers and, you know, good families. And
you have a question for the guest?
I have a lot of questions, yeah. I think, should I ask a question right
now?
You're
from Michigan, too. You know, we're all it's the Michigan squad over here.
That's crazy.
How many have you seen it at once?
In Michigan?
No, here.
Arabs?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've been to, like, the hookah lounges, so in that circumstance, a lot. But, like, on a daily basis, the most I see at a time are Raf and Capri at the same time.
I just see these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel you on the. I went to all boys Polish Catholic high school in Michigan, so the Polish mix, and then just like I feel like Michigan is a very it's a melting pot, and it cultivates like a sense of just you get the whole world like right in a small area. So like, although when we talk about it, we always say going back is like this whole thing. We realize why we moved, but like, what are some of the things you're grateful for having grown up there?
I love the community aspect of Dearborn. I feel like it's kind of one of a kind to deal with in that sense. Like, it's very community-oriented. That's one thing I miss. It's, like, definitely a culture shock because L.A. can be a very lonely city at times. But in Dearborn, it's really not like that. I mean, it could be the fact that I have, a lot of my family's there. But just, like, there's so much – I feel like – and also the food's so much better there.
Oh, yeah.
Food sucks here.
I think we're spoiled.
It's colder there, but it feels warmer. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes
the poetry is crazy.
No, I think.
But there's also like the word gets around a lot. There's a lot of gossip and stuff.
Yeah, in my
head, do you not like?
In my head, I'm just like, I like that. I was talking to my best friend when I went home. I was like, I like to think nobody knows I do live streaming in Dearborn. She's like, oh no, they do, and I'm like, okay, well.
I'm gonna confidently say that Michigan has the best Middle Eastern food in the world.
In
the world, as in like, you know, it's in the, including the Middle East. Why? Yeah. Because it's
heard it here first.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Take the mic.
I would agree, man. Have you been to the Yemeni places, the Iraqi places? Like, I mean, I haven't, but I can go to all of them in one place. It's called
Michigan. Exactly. Yeah.
So it's like you don't have to go to Jordan to get the Jordanian.
Yes, it's the only place I think in the world where you can like in a 20-mile radius you can get, you know, you get North African, you get Yemenis, you get Syrian, you get Iraq, you get Lebanese.
The Yemenis.
Is that Lebanese Yemeni?
Yeah. You know what I mean? But that's as close as the politics you can get. It's just with the food, then, right?
Yeah, food is political.
Yeah, I mean, because I saw your reaction when I said food here sucks. Do you agree?
Well, I mean, I have a list of places that we could go to that would change your mind, I think.
I went to, for my birthday, I went to this Lebanese restaurant called like Bay Restaurant in Costa Mesa. It was pretty good.
How do you spell that?
B-E-I.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just Middle Eastern?
Yeah. Lebanese. Shish Tawouk was great. Yeah. That's all that matters to me.
Okay, you went all the way to Costa Mesa for Lebanese.
Yeah.
Okay. There's some good food. Okay, in LA, got Al Bosch's chicken.
You got.
Listen, can I tell my own things? You tell what you want. Okay, I got Al Bosch. Al Bosch is a good shawarma. Yeah.
Okay.
Take Al Bosch. I swear. I know.
Al Bosch.
Yeah. Whatever.
Al Bosch. Don't take this guy's shawarma. Just like it's officially debunked by the shawarma king.
Yeah, bro, I'm literally about to fight you right
like
now.
Nasser
can
Reyes,
I give my three
the
and, then
king
you
stand
and then you tell me what you want?
Incredible.
Can I talk?
I mean, incredible. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. This guy. Don't make me get into it. So Al Bosch, Open Sesame. You know Open Sesame?
No.
Oh, it's nice. It's the Lebanese place. And then what is the other one? Mirage. It's like a Syrian.
Mirage is
good.
Yeah,
I've never heard of any of those.
So you got Hollywood Shawarma, now known as Sincerely Syria. That's where you want to get your shawarmas out here. Have you been there?
No.
Okay. Don't go nowhere else for shawarma. That's
okay.
All you need. Trust. And then, you know, you can go to Anaheim. They got a bunch of, like, Little Palestine is in Anaheim.
Yeah.
They have a lot of good Arabic restaurants there.
It's Little Arabia.
Little Arabia. No, they change it to Little Palestine.
They used to call it the Gaza Strip.
What?
I heard they used to call it the Gaza Strip.
Well, there is Little Arabia,
big ups
too.
The Gaza Strip.
But they were calling it that derogatory.
Oh.
Well, we like to call it just Gaza, not the Gaza Strip.
Well, then they changed it to Little Arabia, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
It
now.
Hasn't changed to Little Palestine?
That's
that
in like New Jersey or
that
something.
That was in Chicago. They just changed it in Chicago.
Yeah. No, get your facts right, bro. All
right.
He also doesn't know where his good shawarma is at. So.
Like,
so, as you can see, he's
again,
a liar
again,
and misinformed.
Atif puts lettuce in his shawarma, so you're automatically disqualified.
I don't put lettuce in my shawarma. They put the lettuce, and I just eat it.
Yeah. People get mad at how I get mine done.
Let's see. Let's hear it.
I just get hummus.
I'm sorry. I did not expect the first. Is this, wait, you're talking about in the sandwich?
Yes. Beef or chicken? Are we talking beef or chicken?
Chicken.
Ah.
I just get fries, hummus, and chicken. No tomb, no pickles.
Wow. So hummus instead of the tomb.
Very nice.
No pickles.
First and last hijabi women on our podcast.
I'm going to say
we listen, we don't judge, okay?
Having me on as the first hijabi is going to ruin your life.
Yeah.
So this side of the table is the shawarma gang.
We get it how we like it.
Yeah, but it's...
Have you been to Zoe's Good Burger?
I love... Okay, best hot chicken sandwich you're ever going to have.
Wow. No.
Is Zoe's Good Burger?
I'm going to have to disagree with that one.
In Michigan, right?
Oh, yeah. We're talking about Michigan. You're talking about...
Because the best hot chicken out here is Al's Hot
Chicken. It's called Dave's.
It's Al's Hot Chicken.
Dave's Hot Chicken sucks.
That's just bad takes all around.
Anyway, so L.A. businesses... For the listeners in LA, if you're visiting, this is Middle Eastern. You got Laya, Lady Hawk, Sunin, Layla, Jackson Market, Dama Grill, International Market, Sincerely Syria,
Fatima's Grill,
Dama Grill,
Sumac, Carnival, Phoenicia, Ala Beirut, Pie on Sunset, Almaza, Carousel, Al Layali, Levant Bistro, Orla, Zaytinya, Open Sesame, Gabby's, Yellow Coffee, Al Bosch, and maybe diplomat.
Albash, I don't know.
About House of Mendy.
And House of Mendy.
Say
the
best for last.
Yeah, and then there's Jackson.
I've never heard any of those because, like, to be honest, a lot Jasmine. Of times we were just hanging in, like, the Anaheim area. Yeah. So
and I hope none of these are Zio.
There's Anwar's Kitchen.
It's Whoa, a truck, have you been to Anwar's?
No, it's an actual restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Anwar, like, you know Anwar? The
Anwar Jabawi, the influencer, the super yeah. funny, super big guy.
Rips his shirt off and flexes.
If you've ever been on Instagram,
he has his own restaurant.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's called Anwar's Kitchen. They sponsored one of the.
He gave us some shawarma to try once when the shawarma king was here and Atif was debunked officially. Yeah, that time.
Well, yeah, I like other stuff. I don't because it's kind of dry when there's too much chicken.
See, that's why I have to get hummus. Saving grace.
See, with beef, I can see it. What about tomb? Yeah, she doesn't like the tomb, she said.
There's tomb in hummus.
See, but tomb has to be... actually, there's no tomb in hummus. And tomb,
what?
There's no tomb in hummus.
Yeah, there is.
No, there isn't. And tomb has to be watered down with mayonnaise.
There's garlic in hummus, right?
Exactly. No, there's garlic in hummus.
It's not one of the official
ingredients. Bro, I have more culture. I've eaten more shawarma than you have.
Bro, it's lamoun.
This guy is such a boater, dude.
Let me tell you the ingredients to hummus. Okay. It's lamoun, tahini...
What's lamoun?
And chickpeas. Yeah, exactly.
So you say half of them in English, half
Learn
of them in Arabic?
Learn your languages. Oh my lemon. Gosh. Obviously, it's lemon, dog.
Guys, just kiss already.
Tahini. And chickpeas.
No olive oil, no milih, garlic.
And then milih, if you want some milih, and you can put What's some milih? Olive oil in there. And garlic is not included.
You could put some olive oil. You could put some garlic.
Yeah, you can add some olive oil to make it, you know, more...
The guest is always right.
She's crying.
I don't know that that's a rule. Sorry, it gets heated when we talk politics.
Is he a voter or not?
I can't make that assumption right off the bat.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, what is a voter to you?
Anybody fresh off the boat, really.
How fresh?
I would still call my dad a voter, and he came in the 90s.
Okay, exactly. But it's different being Arab and then being Arab American. Like, that's like a whole different thing.
I don't think I'd ever call like an Arab American a voter. I'd only call like the people that are like...
Yeah, exactly.
Like in high school, for example, it would always be like the people.
I mean, we're all about to be boaters leaving this country, so it's definitely like we have no idea what's going to happen in the future, and we just got to be prepared. Like the ADC, we worked with them. They have like a hotline right now. So
can we talk about the TikTok ban and how all 9 of the Supreme Court people voted for it? And that's just crazy. At this point,
what's the status with it right now?
The TikTok that came 75 back day extension. Is not the same TikTok.
It's not the same TikTok.
Oh, I heard that because now they ban like free no,
pass. Yeah, I mean,
we can't even say free pass. God damn,
guys, like, can I say it?
Yeah. Shout out Palestinian hustle too.
Yeah, my For You page is an absolute mess.
It's like reset or something.
It's like older TikToks and people that have like no followers that are just like doing their like little vlogs of the day, and I'm just like, I don't want to see this. I want like Ash Trevino gossip and like Shoddy Bay. I don't want any of whatever's happening.
You gotta
here.
Rebuild your FYP.
Yeah, it's a disaster. But I did read that you can't say, you'll get insta banned if you say free Palestine or free Luigi.
Oh. Not Luigi. I mean, I can see the Luigi one, but Palestine, come on.
I don't know.
You can't say free a people that are a people? Like, what?
I will say the weirdest thing about the TikTok ban were, like, the pop-ups that happened pre-ban and post-ban, like, just, like, shilling for Donald Trump. And it's, like, he wasn't even president when the ban was lifted.
Sure.
So it's, like, had they waited, like, 20 or 12 more hours, day of the inauguration. Like,
yeah. To ban it or to
unban it?
To unban it. Yeah, they brought it back too fast.
It would have worked out in the sense because my theory, not to be all like conspiracy theories, they're using this to kind of like get Gen Z on Trump's side.
Uh-huh.
But I agree. It's all a side.
Yeah, but they couldn't even wait like that long to be like, oh yeah, because of Donald Trump, like TikTok's unbanned now, when in reality, he's the one that like pushed for it to get banned in the first place.
100%.
So he can unban it.
And now he's trying to get America to control it and buy it and all this other stuff.
Do you think that makes sense to have America control instead of China?
I don't want Elon Musk to own any other social media.
China doesn't control it. I feel like we are in control of the For You page. We were in control, weren't we?
No,
like
we
you
were
really
already,
wanted.
We were.
Well, it was addicting. It was good.
We
it
were
was
already
good content.
Getting censored on TikTok though before when China had it. That's what I couldn't understand, right? We were still Palestine was getting censored on TikTok from way back.
At the whims of the American government.
And I think that's a good segue back into the censorship on Twitch, for example. How have you been navigating that?
So what happened was My podcast, Arabs, it was Raph and Capri at the time. Now it's just Raph and I. We got approved for a live show at TwitchCon in June, and we planned it. So we had a whole segment that was like, who could say Habibi? Like who has the N-word pass, but like...
The Habibi pass?
The Habibi pass. And whenever you look at those tiers from like African-American content creators, they have like the meme tier lists. So we had like Arab-coded, thinks it's a slur. We had one more in between, I believe, but the last one was Love Sabra. And the reason why we had Love Sabra is because it's like the shittiest hummus ever.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's like the standard hummus for Americans. So it's like, obviously, if you like Sabra, like you don't have the pass to say Habibi.
Right.
Have you ever? It's mass commodity. It's the most mass like created.
Well, it's
right?
just like white. It's just washed.
And it's also
down.
It's
like
also
the less connected.
Yeah.
And they support the IDF, so we don't fuck with Sabra on this side.
Yeah. So we had no political reasoning as to why we had Love Sabra. It was literally just like it's bottom of the barrel hummus, but it got spun into something political. A podcast host said that Sabra means a Jewish person born in Israel. And what we're saying is that Arabs are good, Jews are bad. And then...
Because you talked about the hummus brand?
Because we just had a tier that said Love Sabra. The thing is, so that gained, like, traction, and then Twitch ended up banning all five of us. So it's myself,
no
Raph, Capri, and then we had two guests on, Vio and Denims. Yep. So we got banned for 30 days. Whoa. And...
Wow, the censorship.
Yeah, it was such bullshit. They didn't even bother like reaching out to us to like talk to us about anything that happened or take our side.
Yeah,
they just took it that we were being anti-Semitic, which we weren't being anti-Semitic.
You know, it's anti-Semitic calling the hummus after the Sabra and Shatila massacre. That's what's
The crazy thing
if
is,
if you want to spin it, let's.
Do you
spin
think
it
was?
Oh,
go ahead.
Because we didn't even approach it with like the political basis because like obviously there's like political underlying.
Yeah, I'm just saying the mental gymnastics of this is hilarious.
It's insane because we talked about that. It's like to us like Sabra is like not just hummus. It's like my dad was in the Sabra and Shatila massacre. It's a popular like last name in Lebanon. You know, like we weren't associating with like how the fuck would we know that Sabra means Jewish person born in Israel and that's Hebrew. None of us speak Hebrew.
I didn't know that, to be honest.
I didn't know that either until...
That's a newer... That's actually, like, more...
Yeah, I didn't
that's
know...
That's way newer than what
I
we're talking
I didn't even know
about
the massacre.
Yeah.
I know Shatila has sweets. I know Shatila on Warren Avenue.
And then you know what's in hummus, right?
Garlic.
But you don't know Sabra and Shatila. Go ahead.
No, but, like, it's... Yeah, so that happened, and it was just, like... It's crazy. And it's, like, you ban a Jewish person... For being anti-Semitic.
Your co-host, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the co-host is Raph is Jewish. Wow. What about Hassan? Like, he says a lot.
So I have a question. Do you think it was because they were like, it was someone that was bigger on the platform that had a problem with you guys that they just like kind of took their word? Because it would be probably more difficult if someone else said that.
So what happened at the time is Twitch got exposed for. Apparently, you couldn't make accounts on Twitch if you're in Israel, but you also couldn't make accounts in Twitch if you're in Palestine. Mm-hmm. It was a regional thing.
Mm-hmm.
I read that it was because they didn't want anybody going live and live streaming what was happening.
Oh, wow.
Because technically, violence and like stuff is against the rules. So they did a regional ban. Then when it got out that Twitch was making Twitch accounts in Israel was banned, that's when the Twitch accusation starts that Twitch is an anti-Semitic platform, and then it spiraled into us, and then...
Oh, so you guys were the scapegoats, kind of, where they were trying to...
Essentially.
They're, like, making an example out of you.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we're not anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
We're going to ban the hijabi girl.
And the Jewish guy.
The Jewish guy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's literally a panel of all Middle Eastern people.
Right.
Maybe speaking of anti-Semitism, Elon Musk and...
That was crazy.
That was crazy.
So
not to get political.
Bro twitched on stage.
Bro, that was.
So I saw a clip recently on TikTok where he's like, "Oh, I was just like handing my heart to people," but like he literally did like that before.
Oh, he literally did that.
Yeah,
the actual
heart and like
I'm saying,
threw it
what
out.
What he actually did
but
was an actual.
Yeah, he did the Nazi salute.
He should have given him a kiss.
The amount of ways you can hand your heart. To
not
people.
Once, but twice.
Yeah.
And there was a third occasion when he did it.
They blamed it on
third?
A different speech.
They blamed it on his Asperger's. Right. Which I don't even know what that means, honestly. That sounds
You just didn't say it right.
He's like high functioning autism. And they're like, oh, he was just really excited. He was like stimming. That was him being happy. But I'm just like, no, he verbatim did like the slam on the chest and then did the motion.
He had the stiff elbow too. He had the stiff
elbow. Twice. And I'm like, you can't defend that. And then I don't think he's even been on Twitter.
Well, you know who did defend
them. They did defend it.
The ADL.
Yeah.
Love that acronym.
They actually spoke out against him today.
Oh, they backtracked?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What'd they say?
They said that him defending him doing Nazi stuff is like disgusting.
So, okay.
Doing what, sorry?
Nazis. Oh. Basically, yeah, they retracted what they said.
Oh, wow.
Because you have a weird dynamic at the ADL, for example, like the guy at the top.
Well, not her, but.
Hey, too, what is your association with the ADL? Yeah.
But
they did change their thing.
But anyway, like the guy at the top praises Elon, but then the people at the bottom or like not the top are having a problem with them. Damn. So it's just like a weird dynamic where literally you have the guys trying to protect the business aspect between Elon and the ADL to the point where they'll literally defend Nazi.
So you're saying the bourgeoisie of the ADL
is with Elon. Where people that are like the richer, higher in power think they can relate to Elon Musk. They'll do anything to essentially defend him.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, because a lot of people see themselves in Elon Musk, they think that being a billionaire like him is achievable, when in reality it's...
And we're living in the timeline where the Anti-Defamation League is defending Nazi...
They switched their game up and they said it's inappropriate and offensive to make light of what's happening. Days earlier they defended him.
It's crazy.
It's an awkward gesture of enthusiasm.
That's crazy.
Bro, are they wearing flip flops while typing this?
Yeah.
Flip flopping all over the place.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah.
Anyway, going back to the Twitch and censorship, I mean.
You came back.
Yeah.
It's my only platform I have. So, like, I didn't really diversify my platforms, and Twitch is my primary, but what I've been working on is diversifying my platform so I don't have to solely rely on a platform that will throw me under the bus and make me lose my income for an entire month under pressure from people that aren't even involved on the platform. So I've been, like, writing YouTube scripts, and I need to film them and hopefully... Nice. And the podcast. Love the podcast.
And on a more positive note, you made a very amazing thing happen. I think Hassan and Motaz did an interview.
Yes.
And I think you were kind of like intricate in that.
Hassan Abi and Motaz Azizi?
Yeah. So yeah. I was a producer. I do producer work on and off for Hassan. I've done a couple streams last year. And one I did was the Motaz stream. One of my good friends, Amir, he is the editor-in-chief of Muslim.
Oh, I know Amir.
Yeah, so I knew he was having an interview with Motaz, and I've been trying to get a Motaz interview since June that year for it. But I connected with him, and he connected me with the people at UNRWA, and they were very open to it. And originally, we were going to go to Anaheim because he was doing a tour where he showed his photography. It was really beautiful. I went to it, ended up going that day too, but he ended up going to Hassan's house, and it was a really, really good interview. It was
love that.
He talked about his experiences. Hassan was like asking American things he's tried, things he's been introduced to while being in America. The Matilda movie. Yeah, that was insane. He's like, he just watched Matilda.
Motaz?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's nice to see him humanized and be able to enjoy, you know, life and not see him in the craziness of Gaza, you know. And people like will hold that against him somehow.
That he left.
It's weird, but it's like, what do you want people to not be able to seek refuge?
No, I would leave too, man. Like, but he was really, really nice in person. He's actually really funny. But after that, like, I talked to the UNRWA team still there. Like, I didn't know UNRWA's team was that small. Like, they provide most of the aid in Gaza.
Well, they target them, basically, so I'm sure a lot of people, it's scary to be, like, labeled UNRWA or World Central Kitchen or anybody like that.
Yeah, like, the team, U.S. team running it is, so I was actually talking to them yesterday.
Like, five people or something?
It's, like, six people. A team six people running the entire org here. But on the ground in Palestine, they have thousands and thousands of people like volunteering. Working and volunteering for the org. But
they get paid. They work for the UNRWA.
It's crazy. Usually. But yeah.
So how can we help?
How can we help? Donate UNRWA. To UNRWA. Make sure you donate to the one specific to Palestine because there's two different types. I forgot which one she told me yesterday.
There's like a general one. And
yeah.
Then
make sure you donate to the charity. Make sure it mentions Palestine. That'll help them. Also, Heal Palestine is really good too. Steve yeah. Sosabi is.
So they're able to get the aid and stuff mm-hmm. now. And
that's yeah. That's so, great. I mean, but UNRWA is potentially facing a ban.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's banning?
Israel is banning UNRWA. Well,
what? Yeah.
I mean, they're banning Al Jazeera. They're banning mm-hmm. UNRWA.
How can you ban the United Nations refugee
yeah,
relief?
Well, they don't.
Accusations.
They don't listen to the UN at all. Yeah. So
wait, but good news, though. Like, how do you feel about
war
this?
Crime? Or?
How do you feel about the ceasefire? Good news?
In my head, I'm like, I have to see it to believe it. You know, the thing that I'm very happy it happened. I also feel like anger considering it was the deal that was supposed to be done in May. And, like, yeah. you see, like, the healthcare system's completely demolished. The water there, like, 96% of it, you can't even consume it.
Yeah.
So much death, so much destruction. It's like, yeah. this could have been done how long ago? But right. you continued this war for political gain.
Yeah.
When
mm-hmm. And then they did, I mean, Israel's reputation is completely destroyed. Like,
yeah.
they're never recovering from this. So, really, it backfired on them specifically. So,
yeah, and it's just like, so Trump introduced something a couple days ago, suspending international aid except to Ukraine and Israel. So it's like,
yeah, wow. It's all a game.
Yeah. So in my head, I'm like, I have to see it to believe it, considering Israel has a history of violating ceasefire agreements.
Didn't they invade the West Bank like yeah. a day after, 2 days after?
I read online that they're killing people on the West Bank.
Yes, so. They are.
I mean, you're from South Lebanon too, yeah. right? So they're the ceasefire as of right now, as we're like, it's about to end, or they're supposed to be completely withdrawn from South Lebanon, right? And they're not. No. We're holding our breath, but yeah. not really. You know. Yeah. So.
We'll see.
Atif and I went to the Altadena aftermath.
Oh yeah, and also the Palisades too.
And we saw some of the destruction and the damage and how it's burned. And like, I can only imagine. I want you to hear your perspective on this, but I can only imagine how the entire city of Gaza is far more bombarded. And it's not just fires; it's bombs dropped on
the
whole city.
Yeah, and the whole. I mean, when we went to Altadena, we saw like the whole city basically is burned down. Like this street, that street, next street, next street. Not one standing structure.
Crazy sight to see.
And yeah, it reminds me of what we saw in in Gaza.
But the difference is
in Lebanon too. They did the same thing. They would like.
They
in
can
like
leave,
a whole
like you drive a few miles.
Yeah. And no, yeah, they got the evacuation order. Most of them haven't died, and they're obviously not being bombed.
What I'm saying is that we appreciate the comparisons to Gaza, but at the same time,
it's way
you can
different.
You can when you have nowhere to go. That's when it's
you're boxed in, you're caged
in.
Of
course.
To the,
and did you see they released the Google Maps images?
Oh, the
Google
satellite
Earth
images. Yeah,
they released the Google Earth images today of an updated of Gaza of Gaza. And
before,
you can see
like
the
before and after.
Well, yeah. It's the after now.
Yeah, so it's like we killed 100,000 people plus. We destroyed and burned the entire city. But hey, ceasefire, you know, like.
That's how you feel. Oh yeah, as a Palestinian, you were telling me about that. You were like, I don't know how to feel. I guess it's good.
It's like I just got. It's like you get in a fight. You get the pulp beat out of you. You know, you're bleeding all over the face. Your place. Your face is hanging off.
And you're supposed to be happy.
You know, and then he stops punching you, and he's like. Huh? Yeah? It's like, you happy?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the general sentiment is ceasefire today, liberation tomorrow.
Exactly.
That's essentially what it is. Yeah.
I mean, we needed it.
The thing is, like, I feel like as Arabs, you know, we've known what's been happening in Palestine. That, like, for me, that was, like, the first political issue I've ever learned about, considering, like, you know, my dad had to flee Lebanon for the civil war. So Same. It's, like, one of the first, like, political issues you learn about. So we, I don't want to say had the privilege, but we had the privilege of knowing what was happening pre-October 7th, and mm-hmm. so we knew what was happening the day of. People learned about what was happening in Palestine after that, but I feel like a lot of people are going to stop caring now that the ceasefire happened because they think, like, oh, you know, the ceasefire happened.
Yeah.
That's what we wanted,
well, yeah,
you know?
It's, but it's up to us to make people continue to
mm-hmm.
care.
The momentum,
you know?
Yeah.
Because we are, I mean, you're building your platform. We're building our platform, and it's we really have this duty mm-hmm. to like, you know, we try to show, like, you know, people say, oh, why are you being so political? Our whole entire existence
mm-hmm.
is politicized.
Yeah.
And we didn't ask for that. But our literal lives are politicized by the world. Exactly. So we have to, we can't shy away from it.
So don't forget about the boycotts. Keep raising money for Palestine and keep talking about it. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, we're in phase one of three of the ceasefire.
Right.
And to be quite honest, I don't see it going past phase two. Because past phase two is they want Hamas to withdraw completely. And they won't, and then they want Israel withdraw completely if Hamas steps down from power.
Yeah, well.
Otherwise, they stay inside Gaza. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And then stage three is the rebuilding, a 3 to 5 year plan.
3 to 5 years to rebuild?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to take longer.
I mean, that's a long time.
I think they're going to want international help to rebuild. That's what they're saying, but we'll see. I mean, I hope. Hopefully, I hope and I pray that it's successful, but it's hard to be
optimistic
with, like,
the history of it. Yeah. Historically, it's just never. But inshallah again,
khair.
Inshallah khair, for sure. But, yeah, so you did ask your Twitch stream.
Hopefully.
About us and what you would ask us. So
yeah.
So let's switch gears, maybe a little bit more positive.
So the first one was, I mean, I already asked already. They're like, look, why did it take so long with the hijabi? Raph and Capri joke about, like, whenever I'm sarcastic, it doesn't come off as sarcasm and people think I'm real. So that was, like, my biggest concern. Like, you guys are going to think I'm a bitch.
Oh, no. Are you kidding? Like, no. You're the nicest girl from Dearborn I've ever met, honestly.
Really?
They're all worse.
So that was one.
Oh, a side note, Atif is still trying to find a wife. So that's his.
Oh, yeah. Is anyone. Why'd you single me out?
You don't want a
because
Dearborn?
Because you just shat on all women in Dearborn.
No. No, they're like me, but I like it. You know, it's keeps it interesting, right?
You're a male version.
No, I mean, a girl from Dearborn, if anyone from Dearborn is watching this, any single ladies.
Are they all red flags?
Slide in the DM.
Tell your dad to set up a meeting.
Tell your dad to DM my dad.
Tell your dad to DM my dad.
My mom, probably.
But anyway. What do you look for in a man?
What do I look for in a man? At this point, nothing. I'm done. I'm done.
Now I'm not looking.
You don't look. You don't look.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I'm not looking at this point.
But if the perfect man walked in, what would his characteristics be?
I mean, I can't really think of anything beyond, like, the basic, like, oh, funny. I will say what I've realized is I don't like when men are, like, too nice.
Mm.
I like a little bit of, like, banter. Mm. That's important.
A little bit of sarcasm.
The Dearborn stuff again.
Maybe it's the Dearborn thing.
I think it might be a Dearborn thing. Because I'm just like, whenever I tell my friends that, they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, that's like trauma. I'm like, I don't think it's trauma. I think it's just like.
You got to be able to have fun.
Yeah.
Go back and forth.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sense of humor is definitely important.
Yeah.
Nice guys finish last.
What else?
Exactly.
So funny and not too nice. Anything else?
Funny and mean to you. Okay, what
else?
Not
mean. Not mean. Mean within reason.
No, just joking.
Does money matter?
I mean, yeah, you have to have a career. Okay. I'm not going to be like, oh, you have to be, like, rich, whatever. I mean, as long as we can sustain ourselves.
Minimum income?
No.
I mean,
rent and pay for food. And
that's out of TV questions. People ask that on the street. Like, they go around, like, how much does a man need?
I really don't care about that. Like, as long as you can sustain yourself and, like, you have a career and you're, like, you're actively trying, that's all that matters to me.
But, like, sustaining yourself in L.A. is different than sustaining yourself in South Dakota.
Or, you know, like, Dearborn,
Or Dearborn.
Yeah, I mean, here it's pretty hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. Yeah. But, like, yeah, I mean, for me, like, I think a lot of people have this take. They're, like, changing it. But I think school is so important.
Mm-hmm.
School is super important. So, like, they have to have, like, an education. Ideal school. Yeah, like, education.
What degree level are we talking?
As long as they have at least a bachelor's.
Okay, bachelor's.
Yeah, because, I mean, nowadays, you can't even get shit with a master's degree, most of them.
Yeah. Here's something I want to clear up. Okay, so obviously there's religious aspects to this question too, but can you get married to somebody that you haven't lived with?
Me, personally?
And do you believe in
that? Or religiously?
Sure, you can.
In general?
Religiously, no, but personally, I wouldn't want to do that.
Do what?
Like, just, like, get married and then just, like...
Because I feel like people can hide what they truly are until you actually live with them.
You don't really know if you vibe with somebody
right.
until, like, you've lived with them or, like, co-housed.
Well, that's what engagement can help facilitate, but technically not really. But you can, Katrik Tab is different like than the wedding ceremony.
Culturally, in Dearborn, even when the people are engaged, like they're like, oh, you can't do this together. You can't be alone. People are so concerned about what the community thinks.
Engaged, though?
It's like the Islamic Katrik marriage.
Tab? Is it the Katrik Tab? Because isn't that technically marriage?
Yeah. You're technically married.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But culturally, it's still not like official. Yeah.
They don't want you to like live together still, even though that should be the trial period.
Yeah.
To do things the halal way. But like in Dearborn, it doesn't fly.
I mean, that's Arab culture in general. Yeah. Like until the wedding ceremony and until, you know, the consummation of the marriage. But, you know, if you're married like on Katbil Kitab, then like it's
halal. Why should it matter culturally if you're married religiously?
Right.
The people in Dearborn love to talk shit. Including myself. I'm not free of that. Right. But like
then you live with them and then you open the fridge and there's sabra hummus. Then you're like
then the divorce. You're just I'm done with this.
You gotta ask the right questions, I guess. You gotta be thorough and
for sure.
But what are some red flags and anything else on like the marriage?
Red flags?
Red flags and guys.
Arab men, I'm kidding.
We've heard that one before. What about them though?
Lebanese. I think you mean Lebanese.
Lebanese? Lebanese men are toxic, I will say.
I did see a meme where we're always pretty much number one on the red flag.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like
I saw one of your posts.
Yeah,
the toxic Latina.
Red flags. Here's the thing. I actually made a red flag list. Let me see if I can find it.
You got a list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, I got the red flags in my bag.
I made it with my chat as a joke a while back because it was an ick list because like some things that men do that would just give the ick, like
when he calls you twice in a row or
twice
when
only.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like if he gets shot and like falls toilet. On the ground or something.
if he screams in pain when he gets hurt.
Yeah, calling twice to bypass my do not disturb. Yeah. No, I'm just like somebody did that before. I was like, what are you doing?
Wait, say that one more time.
Like calling twice to bypass my do not disturb. Oh, like
you got to
unless you have like a prior agreement.
Ah,
or it's an emergency.
Yeah,
don't you have to let them through? You have to put them on the list.
Yeah, we got the same background.
The default.
The default.
Hey. Yeah, because like I mean, I keep my phone on do not disturb 24/7. I will say I'm guilty.
Yeah.
I have like a couple people bypass it, but
yeah.
So then, how are people supposed to call you? You're just saying no one called me ever.
I'll see it later. Text me. But to be honest, I'm on my phone like 24/7 anyway. So
I think the worst is if you ever get FaceTimed. Like,
oh
out of the
God,
blue.
I'm not answering.
Never answer the FaceTime
unless it's my sister.
Okay. You gotta text. You gotta let somebody know before you FaceTime.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we're this generation is too defensive about like getting called. Like it doesn't have to just be text. We got this way to just instantly.
I hate phone calls, low key.
Yeah. How old are you?
28.
Okay. We're about the same age.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
28. So, but Capri's older, and you text him, and he'll call you. I'm like, what the fuck do you want?
You can get the conversation over with. Like, hey. What are we talking about? Let's talk about it. Get it over with.
You know how like sometimes when you have an office job, you're like, this could have been an email.
Yeah.
That's how I feel whenever I get a phone call, from some people. I'm like,
this could have been a text.
You could have texted me.
Sometimes you do end up like if they don't answer, like out of me and you do something, I call you, then you're like, you text me, and then it's resolved within a second. So it's like you don't always need the call, I guess.
But you got called out.
For what?
No, I'm saying we call each other fairly often to talk about stuff, and sometimes I can't pick up, sometimes you can't pick up, and it's like a quick text resolves it. So, yeah, I guess it makes sense.
I feel like the only people I do talk on the phone with are, like, my friends back home that are, like, parents, you know?
How does that feel? All your friends and family are starting families.
Honestly.
And we're here going live on the internet.
I know. It's funny.
Do you have, like, pressure about having kids?
Absolutely not. Yeah. My family never really pressured me about that. It was like more so like finish school and then do whatever. And I finished school when I was 24. So I was like, okay, now it's time to. I mean, I never anticipated doing internet stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It happened on accident. Like I was streaming and doing research at the same time. And I was doing 40 hours a week research and then 60 hours plus streaming. I'd like work 9 to 5 and then go live 9 to 2 a.m., and I'd like take naps in between, and I got to a point where it just didn't feel manageable anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was making more money streaming than research. I was like, I quit. Like, I'm done.
Your streams are funny. You do the reactions to like reality shows, right?
So 90 Day Fiancé, we're doing now.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, it's insane.
And are you gonna go and do like the Love Is Blind Habibis and stuff like
Hell
that?
Hell no. No. I'm not. I feel like for a Love Is Blind, you have to be mentally ill.
Can we talk about how Love Is Blind Habibi did not have one hijabi on there?
Oh,
that would have been so good.
Call out the
That's
producer.
What I'm.
That would have been so good, but in my head, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't think I could ever do a show like that, to be honest.
I'm not a fan of any reality shows, like, pretty much ever, unless it's, like, Survivor or one of those, like, In the Wild type deals. But
Talal would be on Naked and Afraid.
No, not that one. But I'm saying, like, I don't like the ones where it's just superficial. It's like, are you acting or are you being real? I can't tell that weird middle ground. But Love Is Blind Habibi feels like the, I don't know, I haven't seen too much of it, just like a little one of part of an episode. It seemed like a bit more relatable.
I never finished it. Raph and I started it, and then we got banned on Twitch because we were doing it with the Twitch chat.
Damn.
But from what I saw, I was like, this is so messy. And it was funny seeing people react to it on TikTok because they're like putting out like the red flags and like, like the Arab men and how people were really angry about it. But in reality, a lot of it is like...
I feel like it's not a good portrait. Well, I mean...
Well, the guy didn't want his wife to dance. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Would you ever marry someone that didn't want you to dance?
To be honest...
Haram bro stuff.
No, I couldn't deal with anybody that would want to control me in that way. I'm going to do whatever I want, to be honest. Like, within reason,
to
be honest.
I mean, is there anything that he can have a dominion or control over?
No.
Dominion?
Boulder!
I'm saying, like... What about like if he's like, you know what, you shouldn't walk in this alleyway at this time at night because it's dangerous and I'm not there to protect you.
I want to do it.
So there's nothing at all you can restrict him from doing either?
In this country, we don't control our women.
No, but it's both ways. I'm saying, are there anything?
Because
the woman has rights over the man.
That's why
the man
has rights.
It would be
to
request.
It's a request.
Not a.
No, I'm talking about things that are past requests.
Frogan, I
want to
have dominion over it.
Bro, I'm saying, like, are you allowed to go and sleep with other people? No, that's not a request. That's something that's guaranteed.
There's rules to the game.
Exactly.
Like, there's
exactly.
That.
Those are the rules I'm talking about.
That's why I said within reason, right? Like,
okay.
You're not going to be
telling
reason? Me
no
what
dancing.
I can wear or, like, music or concerts. Because I go to so many concerts. I love music.
Nice.
I've been to, like, 150. I have a whole, like, Excel sheet.
Best concert ever, real quick.
I can't even pick.
Okay.
Most meaningful, I will say, is the All-American Rejects.
Mine's Nickelback.
Really?
Keep you my dirty little
Coldplay.
Well, Coldplay is on a tour with Ileana, right?
Yeah.
Are they?
They've been putting
Shout out Chris.
On. Shout out. They're talking hella Palestine stuff. So.
They are?
Yeah.
That's good.
Shout out Ileana.
I'm more of like a like emo, like rock.
Tonight's he's a punk.
We got
Adam. He's in the building. You got a punk rocker.
He gets it. What were we talking about? Dominion? Yeah, they're talking about.
Oh, yeah,
no. I'm saying, like,
there's dominion and then there's
this
adultery.
This is like Talal dates.
He's like,
Talal's like,
what do you
I
mean?
Claim this land. I don't come from
Wait,
a land.
What
but
do you mean? You're not
going
to do everything I say.
No, I'm saying, like, there are certain expectations within a marriage that you have outside of being single. Like, if we're single or if people are in a casual relationship, that's different than a marriage. Once you're in a marriage, there's higher expectations on both sides. Are there any that you can have on your man or that he can have over you? It's an expectation. That's what I'm saying. It's a rigid expectation. Are there any at all that are rigid? We talked about monogamy. Are there any others besides monogamy?
A deal breaker. I really can't think of any, like, off the top of my head. I feel like, but I don't want, like, to be in control over anybody or vice versa. You know what I mean? I feel like, depending on what it is, it should be a conversation.
Yeah,
you
of
know?
Course. Yeah.
But, like, with, like, minuscule shit, like, oh, me going to concerts or me listening to music or what was the example that started all of this?
Dancing.
Oh, yeah,
dancing.
Like, oh, you can't do your hobby anymore because now we're married. And it's why should somebody change themselves because you're married now when it's something like dancing?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of jealousy.
Or you can do it together.
Control,
go to therapy and control your jealousy. Then.
Yeah, there's certain things that
Arabs
you have to deal with.
Exactly.
And that's a
perfect segue.
Oh, yeah? Into the Arab mental
and
health
And this is sponsored
segment.
By Better Help Yourself.
No.
Sponsored by...
We couldn't afford Better Help.
Somebody needs to help.
This is sponsored by Salli An Nabi.
Help yourself.
What would be the Arab mental health brand?
Good help.
Good.
But yeah,
inshallah.
Figure it out.
Figure it out.
Nsalli alayha.
Yes.
Yeah, because we were talking and like public health, mental health in the Arab communities does not exist. You know, they expect you to just pull yourself up by the bootstraps and just carry on with your life and pretend you aren't having issues or feeling some type of way because, like, oh, for example, you're a man. You shouldn't be, like, sad. You need to just, like, toughen up. You can't cry. But in reality, like...
What about child abuse?
I mean, Arab parents are notoriously known for disciplining their children strictly.
To be fair, I feel like most of our parents should be in therapy considering they all left the fucking war. Right. You know? A lot of them don't really know how to navigate, like... I don't know the consequences of living in war.
Well, it's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's like until you have safety, shelter, you know, non-bombardment, like refuge, citizen, you know, like all these things, it's hard to even get to the point where you're going to therapy. Jacob, tell us about mental health.
Well, and then you have the double-edged sword of the parent having, like, come from a war or come from a background, and then culturally speaking, they're here now, and then they don't, that's not in their, it's not in their book, it's not in their...
As a younger generation, Arabs, we need to redefine that, I feel. And I feel like our generation is kind of slowly redefining it, you know? Like, we're breaking the trauma that we typically have in our generation and...
A double dosage of it, too, I think, you know?
Reforming, like, the future for, like, kids if people have kids. Like, I've seen a lot of, like, my friends that are parents, like, they come from, like, traumatic backgrounds, but they're reworking it and, like, raising their kids in a way that's, like... More gentle and like kind of alleviating.
Yeah, the cycle stops with us.
Exactly.
Honestly, seeing my sister, like she's only 4 years older than me, and seeing the way she's parenting her kids, it's so beautiful to watch because she's coming from like a healed, you know, mature, regulated place. And obviously our parents did everything and more than they could. But it is a new generation that's able to like balance their emotions and be in a place that's more calm, and you see it in the kids. It's beautiful.
Can you ask her what she did? Because I need help, bro.
I was gonna say, kids, invite your parents to therapy.
I think it's our responsibility now as this generation to not only like mother and father our children with more, with more emotional regulation and compassion, but also to bring it to our parents and like to end the cycle. Truly, it's a conversation I had with my mom last year. It's like it goes from like the grandparents to the mother or father and then to the kid. So it's like you got to work your way back up the chain and resolve all the things that you felt that were passed down to you from the parent, that was passed down from their parent, help them figure it out, go to the top, come back all the way to the bottom, and then you can give to your
to the script
you
next
you
generation.
You made up for the Dominion comment.
Dominion comment is crazy.
I mean, it's an old thing. Nothing it's a he has Dominion
over
that's
you. That's a red flag.
If you have Dominion over someone,
look, I'm a little traditional, but I'm also very like.
What does that mean, traditional?
I'm very healed and progressive.
I'm a little controlling.
No, I'm traditional in the sense that, like, I expect, like,
what
know,
are the traditions?
I like marriage. You know, I'm not a huge fan of like extramarital relations.
Oh, no.
I try to avoid that. And then we all make mistakes and stuff like that. But when I am married, like, I do want my choose a partner that I don't have to really tell much to because we're already aligned in our beliefs and our views. So
he doesn't want to talk to his wife. That's
he's like, we good?
Yeah, he just said no.
Yeah, I do. I like it to be an unspoken understanding, and like it doesn't even have to be brought up because we're already on the same page.
Yeah.
But if I'm like, hey, you know, honey, like,
don't worry that
I don't feel comfortable with this or that. I want to be able to have that conversation and feel like she respects my views and my beliefs and like my position.
So whose word goes, yours or hers?
Depending on the situation, both.
That's the wrong answer, right?
No, both go. Like if you know, depending on the context.
Yeah,
like there is no.
It's like a we type of situation, you know.
Yeah. That's but in certain situations, my word will go, and certain your word will go for sure.
He's like in the kitchen, it's her. In the outside of the kitchen,
it's more
me.
Complex than
question.
That. It's like who has a higher stake in the question?
No.
Then they get to who feels more passionately. Go ahead.
Do you believe women belong on podcasts or more so in the kitchen?
Crazy question. Crazy question.
Do you think more women need to be podcasters
I refuse
or
to answer
learn how to cook?
Like the question is too polar, too condescending. Obviously, I don't think women belong in the kitchen. I'm actually a great cook myself.
What?
Wait, so you're banning women from the kitchen?
Yeah, my woman.
Her one place of solace?
If she chooses to be in the kitchen, then she cannot leave.
She chooses to be in the kitchen?
Yeah, okay. Then she must stay there forever. No, I'm just kidding.
So you want to cook?
Obviously, they can be on podcasts. What do you mean? Yeah.
Well, do you think that the women need more podcasts?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
I feel like there are barely any women podcasts. I feel like a few have been popping up recently, like Valkyrie. She's a streamer. She started a podcast. Mm-hmm. Pokey started a podcast. Those are the two I can think of right now. But Pokey's an Arab girly. I love her.
Oh yeah, I heard. Where is she? What is she?
She's Moroccan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Pokey.
Mm-hmm. Marrakesh.
Queen. I love her. She's so nice.
Oh yeah, she's.
Maybe
fire.
We'll have her next. Get to check out her content. Keep it coming with more women on podcasts because we love it. We love to have you. I did want to know where 100%. Your name, like the Frogan.
Oh, you missed that. Guy was in the bathroom while we went through the whole Frogan.
Yeah, okay.
My name's Morgan.
We don't have to do it again.
Morgan Freeman.
Frogan.
Frogan Neiman. Your name is Morgan?
Yeah.
Okay, so your mom chose the name.
Yeah, she did me dirty.
Did your dad ever tell you what he would have named?
They didn't have a plan. Like, my sisters have Arab names. I don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're the one.
They could have picked a name that was like both, like worked for Sarah, Sada. You know what I'm saying? Like
people were like, so my mom told me it was either Madison or Morgan. And to be quite honest, between the two, like.
Morgan's a better
name. Morgana is a name, right?
Yeah, people were saying that, like, Morgan was technically Arab because, like, it means anemone. I'm like, dude, my mom did not put that much thought into that.
What's your Arab name? Give yourself one.
Morgan. I don't need an Arab name to be Arab, you know?
Yeah, for sure. There is Morgan.
My name is Steve.
But you can go from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali, you feel me? So what's your Muhammad Ali
name?
She's already Muslim.
Because even then, a lot of people are like, the only thing that makes you look Arab is like your hijab. I'm like, dude, sure, I guess. Because
they don't know how genetics works in Lebanon.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
For sure.
My grandma has blue eyes too, but they think they automatically see colored eyes and they tweak out.
My grandfather has blue eyes, my mom. But you have definitely lighter features.
Yeah.
But then
I'm fully aware. I'm just like, yeah.
I mean, you got some, you know,
Lebanese people are already half white.
Yeah.
Prevalent.
Even more white.
Just have this stereotype of what an Arab should look like, and I don't fit that feature wise, which I don't give a fuck. I really don't care.
I mean, we blame
T. Yeah.
The movies that we've watched, the TV shows that come out have completely, made that.
What do you think about all the every Netflix show where the hijabi is just taking off the hijab and all that?
Is it bad that I find it hilarious? Because I'm it's like a single why is that the only plot line they get for hijabis? The liberation and the secrecy of taking your hijab off.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like just make them a character because to be honest, I'm going to say this, and people are going to judge me. I don't watch movies a lot, and I don't watch TV a lot.
Okay.
Because you're on YouTube and the internet?
Because
you're too busy making the content.
I feel like I used to watch reality TV for pleasure, but since I started watching it on stream, I don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I ever watch movies, though, low-key, is whenever Raph and my friend Scootish make me go to the theaters with them, which is why I watched so many movies last year. Mm. But so I've never really watched one of those lines fully through. I've only seen clips.
Yeah, yeah, same.
But it's hilarious because it's just why is this the only perception? It's bad, obviously. And isn't it typically Muslim creators giving that plot line as well too? Or is it
I don't think so. I mean, it's just the easiest thing. Maybe it's the
Muslim actors, I think, play into it. There's been Arab
but Indian I think Arab like thoughts. The studio is probably saying let's do a little something a little more relatable or something everyone would understand. Why would we want to? She has a hijab on. We have to address the fact that she can't have a different struggle in life, in her job or something. She can't be a normal person. It has to be freeing her from oppression. Hey guys, we're gonna free her from oppression today.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
It's insane. I feel like people need to humanize hijabis more and don't make that the focal point of hijabis.
Meanwhile, in other religions, they're also covered, and it's never
nuns are covered.
Nobody really does that about nuns, for example, or Orthodox Jewish women that wear the wigs, or Sikh men. It's only hijabis.
So what's your?
Because they think you're forced. You're you know you're forced to, and you're
Yeah, what's your view on all that? What's your belief, not what people believe about hijab? Like, what's the reason you wear it and how you feel when you wear
it? I put it on when I was super young. I used to go to a private school growing up.
Which one?
I don't want to say it on the podcast, but
I know which
one
already.
Yeah. I used to go to a private school, and it was a part of the uniform in third grade. Yeah. So I was like, whatever, like, I'm wearing it, like, I'm wearing it all day, and my friends are wearing it.
Oh, it's part of the uniform.
Yeah.
Okay.
Muslim school.
So I put it on, yeah. A lot of the Muslim schools make it a part of the uniform. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of, they haven't shied away from that.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, there are parts of the world where they force people to wear hijabs, and I don't think that should be a thing.
Of course, yeah.
And it, like, people, like, feel very strongly about that, but yeah. For the most part, I don't think that is the majority of why people wear the hijab, like, mm-hmm. it being forced, and I feel like that's the perception.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A lot of people, like, my sister, like, 2 years ago, just recently put it on, you know, just because you wanted to.
Yeah.
As long as there's a choice, I think it's always about
choice
and
exactly.
your freedom. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you should have the freedom to do whatever you want.
You
want to
wear it. Yeah. If you want to take it off, take it off. Yeah. Like, as long as you're not like a bad person, like
right. See, like one thing I don't think a husband can do is force his wife to wear hijab.
Yeah.
You know, so that's yeah. But it's funny, we talked about this on the first episode of this podcast when it was just three of us talking about you know what women wear and don't wear.
What?
Maybe a little you know funny for three guys to talk about hijab by itself. I'm glad we're talking about it with you. But one thing that came up was like. In my understanding of the women I know that wear hijab, it's the opposite of what these shows and these people claim it is. It's like that it oppresses women to mm-hmm. wear the hijab. Some people see it as liberating to wear it because mm-hmm. you liberate yourself from like being overly,
sexualized.
To be honest, though, it still happens no matter
still,
what.
Still, regardless, because men are. What did you say on that first episode?
Dogs.
Yeah.
Dogs.
Yeah.
And that's an insult to dogs. So.
True.
You know, unless good men exist, but bad.
No, of course, but
there are no good men in the world.
Come on.
There are no.
What about?
That's a clip. That's a hook.
Name
I'm
one.
I'm right here, baby.
Yeah. Whoa.
Would you think there was ever good men in this world?
No.
In history?
No. No.
Not a good man. Jeez, that's a bad thing.
Why did Adam let Eve go to the forest?
What about?
I always ask this person because it's about something I'm writing. But in your life, including superheroes, including fiction, including if you could like name like your top three men, for real, or like one, give us one.
And top three men
women,
in the world,
women, and then after that too.
Like if you were to give the keys to the universe to.
If you give dominion to these three.
Because right off the bat, like my first thought of the top three men, I thought of Bad Bunny, number one. Which is
Bad Bunny.
The guy that raps about.
I love Bad Bunny. He's one of my favorite singers ever.
Okay.
The world would be a better place with Bad Bunny.
Just be reggaeton everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad Bunny. Jake Gyllenhaal is one of my favorite actors ever.
Lit. You saw Presumed Innocent, the Apple TV one?
Okay, I only watched two episodes of it, and then I just stopped watching, but
Did
you know he's Persian?
It's a crazy twist.
He looks like a Lebanese man.
Who?
People
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal's Persian?
Yeah, they casted him as the prince.
He was the Prince of Persia.
Yeah, because he's so Middle Eastern.
What kind of last name is Gyllenhaal, though?
He's not Lebanese. He looks Lebanese.
He's Greek or something.
He looks Lebanese. He could be like a Lebanese
man. Yeah, he's Mediterranean.
False news.
I like that.
No,
it's a crazy twist at the end of that show.
Yeah, number three. Jesus.
Jesus. No one said Trump, dude.
I can't think of a third.
Mike Pence?
Ew. I would trust Hassan to run the world.
Yeah.
Low key.
Hassan
Piker. I would trust him to run
Hassan
the world.
Piker. Yeah. What's his last name? Piker or Abi? Or
Piker.
What's the Abi?
Brother in Turkish.
You know, we love Hassan Piker on this show.
I'm kidding. I don't.
We would love for him to come on the show.
Yeah, Hassan. Come on down.
And just make us all look less than.
Less intelligent than.
Less intelligent. This guy
is political.
Literally.
Less handsome. less tall. We ran into Hassan in out in the streets in LA
during the Hollywood writer's
strike, and then he reviewed the Jubilee video that I was on, and he liked some of my takes. So yeah,
you were in a Jubilee video.
Yeah, the Palestine-Israel debate.
Oh God, I heard that was a disaster. I didn't watch it.
It was a tough
it.
One.
There's
yeah.
two. He was in the second one.
He was there, the second one, yeah. It was
if you, like, pan the camera yeah, to me, I was ready to
just storming around.
This is, like, in the beginning stages.
It was a tough, very tough conversation. It was
right next to, like, it was not cool.
I was, like, I could not. Was Rima in?
Yeah, Rima, Caucasian Arab was there.
Because I know Capri was potentially going to be in it, and Dominic was going to be in it potentially, but it didn't end up happening. I was in a cut video before.
Tell us.
I was in Truth or Drink, Muslim Edition.
Okay.
So drink tea?
So they gave us hot sauce. My friend Amir was doing a collab with Cut. They wanted to do like stuff with like Muslim.
Oh, yeah.
So he was like, be in the video. I'm like, okay, because I'm batshit crazy compared to a lot of other people, and I'm like, I know content, you know, because a lot of the people that applied for it are not like content creators. So I was like, okay, you want crazy, I could give you crazy. A lot of the questions were like, what's your favorite holiday? And everyone said Eid, and I said Halloween. That got cut.
It got cut from Cut?
Really?
Damn. Cut.
They wanted you to say Eid, huh?
Yeah. So my going in, I was like, I don't want
you said Halloween, and they cut it. Got it.
I'm sorry, I like Halloween.
Stuck for a lot.
Halloween's a little
stuck for a lot, man. What do you mean?
You're gonna dress up
by design, I guess.
Yeah, but like here in LA, you can't have a good fall. Like in Michigan, you have a good fall. You have like the apple orchards and everything.
The donuts.
Exactly. The here you don't have that.
I'm not liking this Dearborn propaganda. Okay.
Well, I see. To be honest, I'm shocked I'm even spreading it. Would I ever want to move back? Absolutely not. But
okay. Go visit for sure. Yeah. Visit Dearborn.
Once a year for like a week, sure.
Bro, hired by the tourism.
Wallahi, bro.
Yeah. Wallahi, bro. True, Fortune Football.
Can we talk about Halloween, though, for a sec more? Because the more I grow older and more, just spiritual, the less I vibe with Halloween or understand it. Because, like, why is it a celebration of death and everything?
It's just like a costume party, dude.
But it's like ghosts everywhere.
It's not that deep, bro.
It's just fun. Like, I feel like this is my first time I ever actually.
Why do you see it like? Hold on. Why do you see it like that? We are paying respects to the dead.
Wait, no.
Are we? Yeah, we are. But it's really violently scary stuff.
I don't know. What were you saying though?
I was just saying like.
I think the American vibes.
Let her talk.
Yeah. But I'm saying we all ruined it. They took it and make it a capitalist monster that it is. So anyway, go ahead.
Everything is a product of capitalism, including holidays like Valentine's Day, which is bullshit.
Christmas.
To be honest. Until I am in a relationship, then it's not bullshit. But up until then, it's bullshit. But no, Halloween, this is like the first year I ever got to really celebrate it in my adulthood. Because like people go crazy in LA. People go crazy in LA with Halloween. So I was like, okay, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I went to my first Halloween party ever.
Okay. The parties are fun, obviously, you know. But
I was Hijabi Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
I went basic with it, but it was fun.
You could just do Hijabi anything.
Yeah.
That's like.
I had to like in Dearborn. Hijab stores are like everywhere. I had to go to Anaheim to get like a burgundy hijab to like match. It was the day of was a disaster, but it was fun. And then I did like Snow White for another party. Just random. I wasn't gonna go, but I was like last minute. But the one I actually planned for.
Snow White.
Yep.
Nice.
It worked. No, I love Halloween. But Cut was fun. I look unhinged in the video because everyone was very like.
By the book.
Yeah, and I didn't care, and people got mad at that.
Okay. I think there's enough people that care that we cannot care. You know.
Yeah. I'm like.
Be you.
Exactly.
Be you. As long as you're not. You know, like, I don't have to denounce Halloween.
No, so
there's some Muslims that don't listen, you know, that don't listen to music. Can we talk about that?
My dad used to not let me listen to music, but I used to listen to it anyways. I used to have a Zune in secret.
Zune.
Is that like an MP3 player?
Yeah, it was an MP3 player. It was like a.
Yeah, but in our country, we had, before the iPod.
Yeah, bro, I had MP3 players, dog. I had an MP3.
It was the Microsoft version, right?
Yeah.
He would just get so mad at the music I listened to because growing up, I was raised on like Panic at the Disco, Fall Out Boy, System of a Down.
Green classics.
Shout out, Serge.
I love System of a Down. Raph and I saw them.
Wake me up.
No, that's not System of a Down.
Raph and I saw System of a Down in April.
Wake up.
Yeah. They're so good.
That's a legendary band.
Really, I never thought I'd ever see them. They were announced at a festival. We went, and I got the worst hijab sunburn I've ever had in my entire life.
Oh, wow.
It's just the circle.
I never thought of that.
Yeah, I'm still facing the consequences of that, unfortunately.
Jeez.
But then Serge opened the coffee shop in L.A.
Yeah, come on.
And Raph and I went to the grand opening because I was like, we have to meet Serge.
Mm-hmm.
And I went nonverbal, to be honest. I was so nervous. I was just like, oh, my God, like, it's Serge. I usually don't get like that around, like, famous people, but I was just so nervous because I guess I've been listening to them for so long.
Yeah.
Raph carried the conversation.
Nice.
But the artwork there is beautiful, too, because it's like an art gallery coffee house that he did.
Sweet.
Yeah, he did our interview on Mythical Kitchens for the, like, what would you do, like, what would your last meal be? And he said some really, I mean, he actually put on MENA food too, specifically Lebanese food, because not many people know he's born in Beirut.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he talked about it, but he said some crazy stories. Like, while he was performing, he was targeted by the Turkish government. Literally, like they would be following him at his concerts and stuff. So he's been through some crazy shit. And we'd also love to hear from him, too, because,
Yeah, I mean, he's a legend, and he's, you know, Persian, and
He's not Persian. He's Armenian.
Armenian.
Yeah.
Sorry. He's Armenian.
Tankian.
But he's from Iran, right?
No.
No, bro.
From Armenia? Not a...
Brought
I mean, there's a lot of Armenians in Iran, you know?
Sure, maybe.
There's a lot of Armenians in Lebanon.
There's a lot of Armenians in Jordan.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But they have Armenia.
No.
But
they also have
It'd be
country.
Cool to have Ammo Surge on.
Yeah.
For sure.
Ammo at this point.
Ammo Surge.
Yeah.
Do you know have anything to promote?
Arabs.
Arabs. Let's talk about it.
A-Y-Y.
So is Arabs.
It's a slur.
Is it a slur?
Yes.
Okay. We're taking it back?
Yeah, we're taking it back.
Let's go. Arabs.
The way Arabs started is, so basically, a month after I had
become... A hijabi, an Arab Jew, walking into a bar.
Yeah. It used to be a Christian, Lebanese, Palestinian guy up until recently. We love Kabri. He left, though. He left the internet.
Oh, God.
Just like, he's just done with it. A month after I met Raph, we became friends, and I've known Kripi for a while.
Uh-huh.
I came to L.A. because they both were living here. I was in Dearborn still.
So you were streaming out there, and
yeah,
then you built your community, and then moved out here.
Yeah.
It's classic.
So we did a stream together, and I was like, imagine if we started a podcast together, and we called it, like, Arabs.
Okay.
It was just like we floated around as a joke.
I like that.
And then when I moved here, it happened because I moved. So that happened in August, and I moved here in November.
Mm-hmm.
And then in December, we spent the whole time building the set, trying to figure that out, moving sets again because somebody fucked with our set where we had it.
Mossad.
It was at Capri's brother's house, and then like TikTokers were living there, and they were doing like the lives, and they cracked eggs on their set, and it was just like,
what?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, we love them, but it was just like we were just like fed up with it. So let me release our first episode, and
okay.
I love it. It's one of my favorite projects I'm doing.
Wait, so the name Arabs?
Yeah.
Like, why did you come up with that?
Slur.
And is it even a slur?
I mean, people like you, dirty Arabs. You know, like
it's
a lot
like
of people,
an American thing.
Yeah.
Arabs.
They really put emphasis on the A.
Yeah, so we kind of we took it from that, which is pretty funny.
But it could also be like Arabs.
Arabs, yeah, because originally we had two Y's in it the entire time.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people are like, well, did you drop a Y because Capri left? We're like, no. It's always been two Y's. Yeah.
The lore is crazy.
Yeah, I know.
That's the name of your, it's in your podcast name too, right?
Mm-hmm. Arabs.
It is the podcast name.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it's just Raph and I. We film out of my living room.
Two lonely Arabs.
Yeah.
And what do you guys talk about?
Current events.
Is it like
every
so
film,
often?
Every week.
Every week
every
you get
Friday
a podcast?
We film. Yep.
And what about your stream?
Stream I do every day, almost. Except Fridays, because I don't film on days. I mean, I don't stream the days I film.
Film.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How did you, like, how do you
Friday
stay so
prayer.
Consistent?
You know, we gotta go to Jama.
Yeah. Imagine doing Jama stream.
That'd be so funny. People would eat that up. No,
yeah.
But like.
Yeah,
we miss Jama being here, unfortunately.
We could.
You have Jama'a right here.
Well, I love Mishra. Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, honestly.
You down, brother? My brother in Islam.
I did it. I went to King Fahd with you guys. I did the.
No, not with me. You went with Hussein.
Right. That's
yeah,
who I went with.
But we can all. Yeah.
You did it right here for.
I know we've been working on this guy for a minute.
He's 50% there.
Well, you're not.
No, he's even working on Jacob too. He's working on himself. We're all working. Speaking of Muslims, live Twitch streamers, musicians, Fuzi, Yusuf, Arkat, YSC, Crash Out. We just went to his concert.
We did go to Fuzi.
That's crazy.
What do you think of him?
He's wild.
Like, he's wild as hell.
He's dope.
I don't know what to think about him. Like,
it's all a character. It's all a character.
That's what people say, right?
Probably. Honestly, in person, in his show, he was really solid and cool. Like the internet stuff.
He has some Kanye to him.
Yeah.
Is it all?
You don't know what you're gonna expect.
Probably not. What are your thoughts? I mean, I've heard from people that know him allegedly that it's
all an act.
It's not an act.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Fuzi. I don't consume his content. I mean, I used to like when I was like.
He's one of the pioneers. Well. Yeah.
But honestly, whenever I was on YouTube, I used to watch like. The British YouTubers like Dan and Phil and like Tyler Oakley.
Smosh.
Which is so Niga wild because.
A lot of white people in that list.
Yeah, I mean, because they're barely. Because like the.
We don't have any representation.
Yeah, we don't have any representation in
Fuzi.
The
We had, what's his? Go Remy.
Go Remy. We had Kasim G, dog.
Oh my God.
The original Atif TV, Kasim.
You're not even that young. Okay. Oh, Go Remy. So, Go Remy, give me an example.
The Lahmi song. All that stuff.
Guy?
Yeah. No, Lahmi song is our other friend. Another guy made that, but he did like the
tabloid. Hey there, Khalila.
Hey there, Khalila.
He did that. Okay, yeah. I know that. I just don't know him by name. But no, it's weird because I worked with Smosh recently because they I helped out with a Palestine stream in May. It was we raised like $1.7 million.
It's not the same. Not the same people anymore, right?
Oh no, Anthony and Ian came back, but now it's like a whole collective.
I know Hassan.
Palestine brought Ian and Anthony back. That's crazy. That's cool.
That's great. Tell us about how much you guys raised.
So we did $1.7 million. Kapir and I did the planning of the live stream that happened, and that was a disaster. Not a disaster. It was really stressful because so many people wanted to help out, and we were like building shows, placing people. Yeah. The segment I built out was an art. Like I had people paint a watermelon, and then we auctioned the pictures off. So,
but it's at the end of the day.
When it was worth it.
In retrospect, yeah.
1,000% worth it.
Yeah. That's not chump change.
It's insane. Sure. We split it between four orgs, PCRF, HEAL, UNRWA, and...
Wow, you're doing more than...
That's amazing.
More than a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I have a platform, and, you know, people have tried to deplatform me for supporting Palestine and being vocal about it. And in my head, I'm like, if I have to lose my platform in any way... I would not rather go out any other way than doing this.
We have a mutual friend that I think he's on a show coming up, and he said something along the lines of, "People are fucking dying. Mm-hmm. I'll go and be a carpenter." So
yeah
it's like it's not. This is not even if they deplatform me. Like, it's fine.
Yeah,
like, it's big. This is bigger than us.
Exactly.
There's other platforms. No.
There's other platforms.
We make our own platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arab, imagine like a Arab version of like TikTok.
Be so chaotic.
It's gonna be called Yalla.
Yeah.
Ship.
But before we wrap this up, hey, I think we're gonna shout out Chorus one more time.
Hey, shout out to Chorus, man.
Shout out Chorus for giving us the threads.
Go get your shirts and sweaters. That's from them too.
Yeah,
that's fire. Let me get that one.
They got a full fit of sweatpants too.
What's up? Send it to me. Wait, what's the code? What's the code? Habibi20.
Habibi20.
20% off.
Let's go. I'm going
to
do it right now.
This is going to be my new performance, one of my performance shirts. Anytime I get a cool shirt like this, it goes to the performance section. So thanks for that.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah, so chorus.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Chorus Official on Instagram. And you can find all the information there. So
I love it.
Really nice. And then we had Frogan on the show. We really appreciate you coming.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it was fun.
You're absolutely
so do you love frogs or what?
Fuck, I know I hate
Tell
frogs.
Tell all the hijabi women to come
hijabi women hit their line.
All three of them.
Release your dominions.
Come dominions, be our guest on the podcast.
Yeah. You will be the dominion of the pod.
Yeah, you will run it. Yeah. You have dominion over the
Take
pod.
Take a break from the kitchen. I'm joking.
I need Pokemon to come beat him up.
We do have a couple minutes. Did you want to actually hear some raps?
Yes.
Any words of inspiration?
He said, do you want to hear raps? And he's not ready.
No, I got one.
Words of inspiration? Don't ever hit go live on Twitch.
Why?
I'm kidding.
You'll never turn back?
No, I mean, I love it. I love my community. Honestly, the reason why I'm still on the platform because I love my community. You know, they were very supportive as well as other people on the internet. but I don't want to just like leave them in the dark, you know? Because at the end of the day, like,
do you catch yourself saying chat in real life?
We do it on the podcast, like whenever we're filming. Sometimes we'll go like chat, and then we'll be like, wait,
oh god,
no, we can't say it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but
no, I've never called any of my friends chat. Like, Raph has called us chat before.
You
I'm like,
wake up in
what?
A cold sweat one day, chat.
No, I actually, my cat went live on accident the other day.
Is that the one that's just all, it's just, it was like blacked out, right?
Yeah.
There was nothing.
Yeah, no, it was.
Your cat plus.
Yeah, because whenever you said that, I was like, oh, wait, that's, so basically, when I ended my stream, I turned my camera off and I just went to bed. I had my cat on a diet.
That's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
Wait, what's a diet?
I used to free feed him, but now he's eating twice a day, controlled.
Okay.
But he's.
Do you know that cats are Muslim, by the way?
He doesn't act like a good Muslim, to
there's
be honest.
There's a whole subreddit of... There's two subreddits that you got to go check out. Cats are Muslim and Forbidden Bromance. Both one is really bad and one is really good.
Forbidden Romance?
Bromance.
Bromance. Yeah.
Hey, yo.
It's terrible. It's the worst. It's the worst subreddit.
What does it have on it?
It's like the Israeli and Lebanese flag together, and it's like people wishing to be together. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Sounds like a reality show. I actually think it was... One, there was, it was called Forbidden Love. It was like people from different religious backgrounds.
Oh, interesting.
It was really good, but no.
So this is the instrumental, so I'll rap live for you.
Yo.
Sick a German shepherd and my auntie. Since you're sick, German shepherds never finish their job. Now you're doing their work. You're the second coming of the knot. Let your fear hijack your mind. Now their spirit's there to haunt me. The Fourth Reich brought to life by the victims and their offspring. I can't internalize the burden lies on me to be white when all I see is RIP on every screen in sight. And awkward dweebs and pasha streams who can't see the insight to have beliefs worthy of credence by the deepest insight. Unravel grief and handle grievances that reach into light. Then grasp the weeping in spite of their belief if it's right. And have a reasonable discussion, not a deal in disguise. As democratic discourse has to scream to be white. But instead, we get these plebs that have a teetering mic. They bomb the nursery, neither mercenary nor reason in sight. The cold-blooded world-funded moral pundit alike. The birth to see a purpose in Christ. First degree dispersing the adherence with life. They lit a fire in the cold, dark heat of the night. If Allah desired, he would rob them of even their sight. But even evil serves a purpose as a fiend with a pipe. And have the heathens rob our breathing like a thief in the night. Has me seething hard deceased and have them eagerly white. To stand on feet, hands free, and evenly fight. Instead they strangled them with ease, no chance of breathing. Squeeze sight, choke their plans to achieve and be bright. Condense a dream and seen in their plight. Erase the stories, map their gleam, their rewrite. So that's why we say
freedom.
Sick a German shepherd and my auntie. Since you're sick, German shepherds never finish their job. Now you're doing their work. You're the second coming of the. Let your fear hijack your mind. Now their spirit's there to haunt me. The fourth brought to life by the victims and their offspring.
I need Talal and Adam. Talal and Adam need to.
All right, thanks for watching the Habibi House podcast. Thank you so much to Frogan, our special guest. Yes.
Thank you for having
You're
me.
You're amazing. Come back anytime.
Mike Shinoda and Chester over here.
The real A-Rez. Yeah.
What happened? Yeah. Linkin Park, part two.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Subscribe.